俺早跟妈聊，
那你也可以。
好，帽子
可以，帽
子可以，
帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可
以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，
帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，
帽子可以，帽子可
以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可
以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，
帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子
可以，帽子可
以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽
子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，帽子可以，
when he says, I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So apparently it wasn't just money that they sent to the Apostle Paul. They sent some stuff. They sent a care package. We know when he writes to Timothy, later on he asks him to bring my cloak when you come to see me. And you know, Paul's in prison. They don't... they're not exactly, you know, heaping provisions on those prisoners in those Roman prisons. So he's there. He's no doubt cold and underfed and not well taken care of. So these saints at Philippi send a gift to the Apostle Paul, and that is kind of the occasion of this letter that he's writing, to kind of thank them and acknowledge that gift that they sent. But he doesn't get to that thank you until here. How long have we been in the book of Philippians now? We're all the way at the end of the epistle before he really gets to the point where he begins to talk about this and thank them for this gift that they sent. And as he begins to do that in verse 10, right away in verse 11, 12, and 13, he kind of interrupts himself. And he says, I'm glad, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that you sent me this, but... And he starts talking about contentment, and we've talked about that in the last couple of weeks. Learning how to be hungry and to be full. How to abound and to suffer need, and to be content in any state that we find ourselves. And what that is a result of this rejoicing in the Lord that Paul's been talking about throughout this book of Philippians. And we've seen that a lot of what he's been talking about coming in out of chapter 3 and into chapter 4 has been kind of internal. We've been talking a lot in the last several months about our mind and how we think and how we look at life and the things that we set our mind on and the things that we don't allow into our mind, and all of that kind of internal working of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God within us. And then as we get into this portion of chapter 4, he begins to say, verse 9, he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So now that we've got our mind straight, and we know how to adjust and direct our thoughts by faith, that is, according to and in line with the Word of God. Now that we've got that, and we've got that internal working of God going on, now we can start doing some things. Because it's not just internal. It's not just knowing the doctrine. It's not just rejoicing in the Lord in that I have inner peace and I have joy in my heart. But that joy is to produce fruit, outworking. So now that's where Paul is, and now is where he comes into this this idea of physical wealth, and he uses the Philippians' gift to him as an occasion to deal with earthly things and our attitude toward them. So he's grateful to them. He's rejoicing in the Lord greatly in verse 10 that they have sent this to him. He talks about contentment there. He says, nevertheless, I needed the stuff, thank you very much, but I was okay. And he's sure to tell them that and to tell us that. So you have kind of that mix of gratitude on the one hand and contentment on the other. So now you're in this situation where if I receive something, I'm rejoicing. And if I don't receive something, I'm rejoicing. Because I have gratitude on the one hand and contentment on the other. So all of this is the fruit and the product of rejoicing in the Lord, of knowing who we are in Christ, of letting that be the main thing and the priority in our life and our heart and in our mind. And then everything else kind of proceeds and flows from that. So as we start talking about, because we're going to talk about, as Paul does here, giving this morning. And that's the subject that he brings in, so that's the subject that we're going to talk about. But I want to, before we move into that, I just want to lay the foundation and make sure that we understand that we're still talking about rejoicing in the Lord here. This is an extension of that. So Paul says, verse 14, after he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, I can have or I can go without. Notwithstanding, regardless of my own personal contentment with or without these things, notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. So Paul says, he's just like he's quick to tell them that I'm content with or without the gift, he's just as quick then to say, I'm not belittling the gift. You've well done. You've done well. Remember the Lord, he gave those talents out to those people, and one of them went and he got his five talents and he went out and made five more, and the other one got two and he went out and made two more. And what did the Lord say when he came back? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? You did good. You done good with what I gave you. So that's what Paul is saying here. You've well done to, he says, communicate with my affliction. Now that word communicate there in your King James Bible, that's used a couple of different ways. You can see it right in the next verse, used differently in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So the Philippians apparently wrote to the Apostle Paul after he had left them, wanting to know some things about giving and receiving. And you notice it's not just giving. It's giving and receiving. Now, we know, hold your hand here and come back just a few pages to 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, back past Ephesians and Galatians to 2 Corinthians. Paul says, after I left you guys, and they're in Macedonia there, and he goes over into Thessalonica there in Acts chapter 18, he said, there was, you know, the Corinthians were writing to Paul asking him all kind of questions. They asked him about meat offered to idols, and they asked him about marriage, and they asked him about all kind of things. And he writes the Corinthian epistles in part in response to that, answering their questions. But the Philippians were the only church that communicated with him concerning this issue of giving and receiving. Now, that's interesting because from what we know about the Philippians here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, that's Philippi. Philippi is the chief city in Macedonia, and he's talking here very directly about the Philippians, although the Thessalonians are also in Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So, and we've looked at this passage already in Philippians to get a history of who these Philippian saints were, but now we're talking about this gift here specifically. So Paul mentions it. He mentions the Philippians, the Macedonians, to the Corinthians in this epistle to kind of encourage them to take up this collection that he's going around for to take to Jerusalem with him. But you see, in verse 3 there, he says, to their power I bear them record, yea, and beyond them, their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. They're begging Paul, take this money. And Paul's saying, you guys, he talks about their deep poverty here, and he's saying, you guys can't afford it. And he says, they were praying us with much entreaty to take it. Let us take part. He says, in the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. See, that's what the Philippians wanted to do. They wanted to be a part of that ministry. And Paul is hesitant to take the money, and they're begging him to take it. But the reason we're here at the moment is that willing of themselves at the end of verse 3. So these Philippians, they've learned the grace message from the Apostle Paul. And about their standing in Christ and who they are and who God has made them to be in Christ and the joy of that. You see what he says in verse 2? That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. So this spirit of giving that these Philippians had is coming from that joy, from that rejoicing in the Lord that we've been talking about. And they're willing of themselves. This is not something Paul had to, he didn't have to get the crowbar out and into their wallets kind of a thing. They were giving him money that he was trying to refuse, and they're begging him to take the money. Now, that's interesting when you think they still communicated with Paul as concerning giving and receiving. So it wasn't that, dear Paul, should we be giving money? How much should we give? That kind of thing. They're willing of themselves already to give beyond anything that would reasonably be required of them. And yet, they want to know the doctrine of grace giving. Because they understand that we have this great joy and this generosity now in the Lord in the midst of our deep poverty, but there's still some truth. There's still some doctrine that needs to go along with that. And these Philippian believers, they understand that. So they don't want to just be giving willy-nilly. Even though it's in their heart to do that, they want to give according to truth. They want to give, they want to know the doctrine of grace giving. So they communicate with the Apostle Paul and ask him about it. Paul, it's in our hearts to do this, but we want to do it right. So what do you have to say on this subject? So Paul has plenty to say, a lot of it, here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But back to our passage. That's communicating with him. They sent a message or wrote a letter, however it was done, asking him about it. Now that's that second communication there in verse 15. In verse 14, notwithstanding, back in Philippians 4:14, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now that communicate there, hold your hand here, come over with me to the other side, to the right, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We were here the other week when we were talking about contentment. Paul's got a lot to say about money. We're to owe no man anything but to love one another, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's Paul's statement on debt. What does that mean? Does that mean I shouldn't take a mortgage?
No,
it means you shouldn't make your payments late. See, when you take out a mortgage, what do you owe? You owe a monthly payment, right?
Yes, sir.
Once you miss that monthly payment, well, now you owe. See, otherwise you're keeping up with the contract the way it was agreed to. Once you miss that payment, well, now you owe.
Yes, sir.
So owe no man anything but to love one another. He talks about giving and receiving. He tells the Corinthians in that passage we were just at, he says, I want you guys to, you're taking up this collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And he says, I'm not trying to get you to be burdened and so other people can be eased. I don't want to take away your money to give it to them. That's not the point. The point is that you have an abundance right now and they have a need. So your abundance needs to be a supply for their lack. And one day, maybe they'll be in abundance and you'll be in need. And so now you're in a position where you're able to give. One day you might be in a position where you need to receive. So it's not just giving. The Philippians asked him about giving and receiving. How do I give under grace? How do I receive under grace? All of those things the apostle talks about. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're here to get that communication idea. Verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So is it a sin to be rich in this world? No. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now that's a difference between some other things that you see earlier on in your New Testament, where it was a problem to have money. The Lord talks about it. James talks about it. Because those portions of Scripture are written to people who are going to be alive at a time where you can't buy or sell except under certain conditions that you don't want to be under. So if you've got money, it means you've been doing something that you ought not be doing. Well, that's not true today. Today, Paul says, if a man provide not for his own, especially they of his own household, he's denied the faith. It's worse than an infidel.
Yes, sir.
So we work today and we make money. Then they were selling their possessions and giving their money to the apostles. They didn't have anything. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. So even the apostles weren't keeping it for themselves. So today there are some saints who are rich in this world. Paul says, charge them that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And there's our word. So you get the idea of communicate there. It's defined for you in the verse, willing to distribute. So it's talking about giving money. So when Paul says you did communicate, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction, that's what he's talking about there. They sent stuff, money, to help his affliction there in prison. Now back in Philippians chapter 4. So the first thing we see there about money in that passage there in Timothy is it's okay to be rich. But again, it's about the attitude, isn't it? It's about the mind. It's about the heart. It's about what we think about it first. What does he say? Charge them, don't trust in uncertain riches. Well, that's a heart issue. That's an internal issue. What comes from that? That they be willing to distribute, ready to communicate. Then there's that outworking that stems from what's in the heart. So back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 again, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, so this is a good work to give. Now, what they're doing a couple of things here. Number one, he says, you communicated with my affliction. So Paul is taking this gift personally. He's suffering in prison. He's doing without some things. He's cold and he's naked and he's hungry and all of that stuff that he talks about being. And they had compassion on him and sent him a gift for his own personal comfort. So there's that. And that idea in the body of Christ of that equality that we just talked about. Not that you be burdened and other men be eased, but that there may be an equality. That your abundance may be a supply for their lack. That their abundance might be a supply for your lack. That is the ideal in the body of Christ. So when you talk about giving and receiving, you know, when you think about some statements that Paul makes in these terms, it gives you a little different perspective on things like When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Paul says here, you communicated with my affliction. You took part in my affliction. How did they do that? They did that by afflicting themselves, by giving up these things that they sent to the Apostle Paul. Things that weren't coming out of their abundance, but out of their deep poverty. And they've done it before. He says, you sent once and again to my necessity in Thessalonica. So there's that kind of personal aspect of grace giving. Because we're members of the same body. And when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if you take that out, the rest of that verse says, when one member be honored, the other members rejoice with it. Well, keeping that in our context here, what does it mean to honor? Hold your hand here. Come back with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We're using our Bible as a dictionary today. We just saw how to define communicate. Come with me to Proverbs chapter 3, and let's take a look at what honor means. Paul says, the elders that rule well, count worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word and in doctrine. We're going to Proverbs 3. What does that mean? Count them worthy of double honor. Does that mean you bow to them twice? It's talking about money. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Solomon says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine, and so forth. So you get the idea of honor there. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Paul tells Timothy, honor widows. There are widows indeed. What does he mean? Respect them? No, he's talking about supporting them. Money. Giving them money. We're talking about grace giving, and we're talking about giving and receiving now under grace. All of these contexts that the apostle touches on in different ways in different places. Look over, if you don't get it there, look over in chapter 5, just a page over, Proverbs 5. Solomon warning his son about the strange woman here. In verse 8, he says, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her home, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. What does he mean? Verse 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. So that's what he's talking about when he says, don't give your honor to others. So it's talking about money. Now again, that gives you a little bit fuller perspective on things like honor thy father and thy mother, right? What does that mean? It means I'm supposed to do what my parents say. Well, children, obey your parents. There's that. But that goes beyond that. That goes into adulthood. Honor thy father and thy mother has to do with seeing to their well-being. That it's the children's responsibility to do that. To communicate with their parents. What Paul calls requite their parents. To see to their well-being, to their living. Honor thy father and thy mother is money. So, when Paul says, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, and when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it, well, that gives you a little different perspective on that too. See, that's the body of Christ. Giving and receiving. How does that work? What is the ideal there? There are other rules back in our passage in Philippians, not in our passage in Philippians, but we're going back there to Philippians 4. Which is why the Philippians wrote to Paul, communicated to him concerning this giving and receiving, because there's some things that you ought not be giving your money to. Paul says, support them that are honor them that are widows indeed. But if they have nephews or children, let them support them, because that's where we get the phrase charity begins in the home. Paul says let them learn piety first at home. So if you got a widow in the church, she has to be not less than 60, not under 60. If she's known for good works, and you know, we're not going to go to the passage, and labors in prayer and done good to the saints and all of that, she has no nephews, no children, she's what Paul calls a widow indeed, then she ought to go on the roll of the church. It's for the church now to support her. Now, of course, the situation we're in today, the government has stepped on a lot of that and takes your money away to do it. So it makes it difficult to live this ideal. But you want to understand what the heart here that the Lord is looking for from us grace folk as concerning giving and receiving, when you understand grace. And again, this is all coming out of what grace does is it regulates our giving and receiving in the kind of the exact opposite way that the law did. See, what you did under the law is you tithed under the law. You and I, we don't tithe. Okay? What we do is not tithing. Don't confuse it with tithing. What tithing is the Old Testament law of giving. Tithe means tenth. That's what the word means. And you give a tenth of everything that you have to the Lord. And that was the law. It wasn't it was compulsory. It was the law. So people talk about tithing today. We're going to pass the plate. We're going to take up the tithe and offerings, right? No, we don't. We don't tithe today. Nobody's tithing today, okay? At least you ought not be. Now, listen, if you want to give 10% or if you want to get a percentage in your mind, that's fine. You want to give 20, that's fine. See, what grace, the doctrine of grace giving does is it regulates giving. Not to bring it up to 10%. See, these people, these Philippians, are willing of themselves to their power and beyond their power. What they need is they need Paul to tell them, look, there's some rules here and some truth about this, and to be sensible about it. Don't take a widow into the roll under 60. If she's 59, she doesn't qualify. If, you know, for all those reasons. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. So there's these. See, what grace does is it kind of brings down that rejoicing and that overflowing spirit and wanting to give. And it says, okay, let's do this, but let's do it sensibly and let's do it according to truth. Doesn't want you to give less. Back to the tithe. Listen, those Israelites weren't just given 10%. You understand that? See, people, I'm going to tithe. We're going to take the tithe. Okay, well, I have to give 10%. Well, now, what's the first question? Is that net or gross? Is that before taxes or after taxes? So now the first thing we're doing now when we're going to tithe is we're looking for loopholes. Yeah. Now we're looking for loopholes. How can I get away with giving the Lord as little as possible? You know where you look for loopholes? You look for loopholes in a law. You and I are not under the law. We're under grace. There's no loopholes. So you say, okay, well then that means under grace is before taxes. No. Under grace, it's not an issue. It's not a question. Is it before taxes? Is it after taxes? Come back. I know I had you turn to Philippians. Come back to 2 Corinthians again with me. Second Corinthians chapter 8. The Israelites didn't just give 10%. What they did was they gave 10% to the upkeep of the temple, essentially 10% to the ministry. Then they gave 10% to the priests. You say, now what's the difference between giving it to the ministry or giving it to the priest? Well, what you need to understand is that in Israel, before they insisted against God's will on a king, the priesthood was the government of that nation. So that was their taxes. They were there to support the government. But that was part of the tithe. Then there was another part of the tithe that went into their own personal savings, not for just any reason, but to finance their 3 times a year trip to Jerusalem. And what they did was they took the food, the animals, the things that they had set aside in store as a part of this tithe, they took either the animals with them or the money with them and bought the animals when they got to Jerusalem, which was that whole money changer in the temple and the Lord overturning the tables, all that's what that was all about. If your trip was too far and you couldn't carry flocks and herds with you, you traded them for money, you sold them where you were, you took the money to Jerusalem, and you bought back what you sold. Of course, then when they got, by the time they got to Jerusalem, they found out that the prices were greatly inflated there, and the Lord didn't care for that too much, right? Got out a whip and started whipping those guys. So you've got a part of the tithe that's going to the temple. Then you've got a part of the tithe that's going to the government. Then you got a, which is the priests. Then you got a part of the tithe that's going into your own personal savings. So you say, okay, before you start doing the math on that now, because then you say, okay, well, I got 10%, and I'm going to take a third of that, and I'm going to give it to the ministry. Then I'm going to take a third and give it to the government. Then I'm going to take a third and put it in my own... No. It was 10%. To the temple, 10% to the priests, and 10% for those trips to Jerusalem. They were paying 30% in tithe. See, the tithe is 10% 3 times over under the law. Then when they got a king, they were taxed beyond that for their new government. Okay, so this idea of tithe that we give, you know, that somehow 10% is a marker for us under grace, listen, forget about that. That has nothing to do with us. Okay? So, the Philippians had to write to Paul. Okay, then how does this work? We're not under the law anymore. What is grace giving? What are the rules? What does it look like? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. After praying us with much entreaty in verse 4 that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So that's the first thing, is the Lord wants you, not your money. And that's what Paul is trying to communicate there in Philippians. When he says, I'm content with or without it. In other words, I didn't need the gift, but you have well done in that you gave it. Okay? See, that's, he's being, you know, he just told us a few verses before, those things which you have both seen and received and learned and heard and seen in me do. Paul's a type. He's a pattern. And he's a type of Christ in that passage. The Lord doesn't need your money, but you do well to give it. Right? What does the Lord want? The Lord wants you. So he says they gave themselves to the Lord. So it's not just our treasure, it's our time, talent, and treasure that we give, right? It's our ability, it's our work, it's our labor. We take the fellowship of the ministry. They did that in a form of money. They begged Paul with much entreaty that he would take upon him their fellowship in the ministry. But they also labored with him. We've seen that in the book of Philippians already. And they're preaching the gospel, and they're taking part personally in the ministry. So first they give themselves. So what does grace giving look like? It looks like that. Before I even start thinking about my wallet, they gave themselves first. Insomuch, verse 6, that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, he would also finish in you this same grace also. So Paul is using these Philippian saints, or the Macedonian saints, to encourage the Corinthians to have the same grace. You see what he calls it? Have that same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So now here the Corinthians are, they're doing the ministry. They're abounding in faith and in love and all of that. And we know the Corinthians had problems, but the fact is that they were partaking in the work there. So they were giving of themselves. But Paul says you do that first. Then he says, now that you're doing that, see that you abound in this grace also, this grace of opening the wallet, of giving to the work. And not just to the work, we'll see that. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment. Now get this. Was the tithe a commandment?
Yes,
it was. Paul says, I'm going to talk to you about money now and about giving. And I want you to understand that everything that what I'm saying here is not by commandment. We are not under a law. You are not commanded to give. God's not going to be mad at you if you don't give. Number one, He wants you to start with. So the first thing that you need to understand is that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. And that what you want is you want peace with God before you start thinking about giving money. And I say that to you because some people equate the two and try to get peace with God by giving money. And supposing that gain is godliness and somehow equating spirituality with those financial things. What the Lord wants is He wants you. So you want to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins. Now because Paul's about to say as he goes down through this passage, and I'm out of time now, so we're obviously going to have to take more than today on this. He says, I want to preach the gospel freely. That's my reward. What that means is Paul doesn't expect money from unsaved people. What that means is God doesn't expect money from unsaved people. So we're talking about Christian saved people here now. Now that I'm saved, how does that affect my wallet, basically? Not beforehand. See, what happened there, he says, after I left Macedonia, the Philippians sent once and again to his necessity in Thessalonica. Why? Because he had already been through Philippi. Now he's got some saints there. He goes into Thessalonica, there's no saints there. He hasn't been there yet. So what's Paul going to do? Be supported by unsaved people? No. The saved people that he left behind are sending the support on. Because that's what saved people do. So he says, I'm not saying this by way of commandment, but by the occasion, in verse 8 again, the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. So you've got this love toward us in verse 7. Now this other grace, this giving, is an outward demonstration, a proof of it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Now that's Philippians 2, 5 through 11 all day long. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God. Came down, gave up, set aside that glory. Came down in the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Became obedient to death. He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Let this mind be in you. That's what Paul is saying here. Abound in this grace also. And herein I give my advice, verse 10. For this is expedient. I'm trying to get to a verse here before I run out of time. This is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So you were willing, now perform the doing of it. Now therefore, there you go, perform the doing of it. We've been talking about in Philippians, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That there may be, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. So now you've got that internal readiness to will. Let that work out. Let there be a performance also. It's not enough to have it just in your heart. You want it coming out in the fruit. Verse 12 is where we're getting to. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So the question we started with, coming into this passage this time, was, if it's not tithe, how much do I give? Well, there's the rule. If there first be a willing heart, it's accepted. You know what that means? If there's not a willing heart, it's not accepted. If you don't want to give, the Lord doesn't want your money. Okay? So what does that mean? That means, good, I don't want to, so I don't have to give. Well, what it means is, if I don't want to, then what I want to do is I want to work on my heart, because I want to abound in this grace also. And if I don't have it in my heart to do that, then performing the doing of it is not, what is that profit? It's accepted if there first be a willing heart. So where do we need to start? Remember, where did we start? We started with the internal, the mind, the heart, the perspective. Let the work flow from that. Don't put the cart before the horse. Okay? If there be a willing mind, then it is accepted. How much? Not according to that a man hath not, but according to what he has. So the rule is different for all of us, isn't it? How much should I give? Well, I guess we could talk about a percentage, but again, we're not under the law here. How much do you purpose in your heart? And what are you able? Because it's not about what you don't have. It's about what you have. So there's that willing heart matching up with the number of zeros in the bank account there, whether it's 1 or 12 or whatever it is in your case. And those two things coming together. And you know what we're left with? We're left with an adult decision to make here, aren't we? You know, some people say, you know what, this grace thing is just too hard for me. Tell me what to do. Put me under the law. Tell me to give 10%. Tell me to give 8%. Tell me to give 12%. I can do the math on that. Don't leave it up to me. Well, the Lord, under grace, you know, we're big boys and girls, right? So, if there be first a willing heart, then it's according to what you have. After that, then he starts going into some issues of giving and receiving, not meaning that you be eased and others be burdened, and so forth. So, this is not by commandment. It's under grace. It's not compulsory. We'll get further into this passage next time. We'll have to spend 2 weeks on it. It is according to what we have. Now, it's amazing what we have. You don't get trapped in the, you know, net or gross issue in terms of what we have. And I don't mean taxes. I mean, well, I don't have anything because I've got all this stuff that I need to pay for, right? And I got all of these bills. Yeah, you got to keep the lights on and you got to keep the place heated and all of that stuff. But then we get all this other stuff on top of that, right? And then we're trapped. And we got all of these bills to pay because of all of this stuff. So then I say, well, it's according to what I have. I don't have anything. I got $10 coming in and I got $11 going out. Well, I might want to start thinking about, if that's the case, why don't I have anything to give? And is there something going on in my life that needs some adjusting? Yes, sir. Because you don't want to you want to abound in this grace also. This is a privilege that the Lord gives us, and you don't want to miss out on it. And we'll talk about some more particulars next time. Do you have a question? I know there's questions about money. Yeah. How soon before your kids have to start taking care of you? Well, Paul calls it 60, but 60's for the church. You know, if you could get your kids to do something before that, that's another thing. That's great. That's another thing about grace. You know, Paul tells Philemon when he sends Onesimus back to him, he says, "I know that you'll do more than what I say." So, you know, are we with this issue of giving? You know, when can I get my kids to start? So I know that was a joke, but that just planted something in my head too, because I got kids that could support me too. But you know, are my kids all right? I don't have to do anything until he's 60, or do they want to do more? Then, and that's that whole idea of grace. Am I eking up to 10% here? So that now I have to ask if this is gross or net, or how can I get a loophole in here? Or am I, you know, is this abounding in me? And that's what grace does, is it makes it to abound. And I'm not telling you that means grace means you should give more than 10%. I'm telling you that there's no line that you need to match, or to you know, there is no line. It's grace. Yeah, Pete.
So, and a cheerful giver would be an outworking of a maturing Christian in doctrine, intellect, will, and emotion?
Thank you. I couldn't have put it better myself. That's very good. Absolutely. It is the outworking of the inner working of the Spirit of God within us. The Lord, the Spirit of God is nothing if not a spirit of giving, isn't it? And so if the Spirit of God's working in us, that's the Spirit that we're going to have. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, Virginia.
Yeah, my dad passed 3 years ago, and he always makes an emphasis on giving. He's a farmer, so we depend on the crops, you know,
yeah,
to bring in. But every year, what he gets, he always, like, give a bulk of it.
Yeah.
Most of the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was 1 year that all the farmers in the area didn't get nothing because of the pestilence. My dad used to walk around the field, praying. He was the only one in that area that got harvested.
Is that right?
It got to the point where the farmers were imitating him.
Walking around the field, huh?
Emphasizing giving.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord, and that is, it really is kind of the outworking of grace in its most kind of essential, fundamental, basic form, is reaching into our pockets. It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really hard.
Yeah. Gave it all up. Absolutely. All and more. Yeah. And then that we're to let this mind be in us. Thanks, y'all.